Osweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. I wanted to end this year, 2025, on this podcast with a scripture meditation. It seems fitting and a good way to end the year. And I don't know about you, but I personally need to be spending some time in scripture and meditating always, but especially right now when things are so busy, when there's a lot going on. This is a chance for us to slow down and really listen and notice what the Lord has to say to us. And now, in case in the hubbub, you've missed some of the point, and maybe you need to be reminded, like I do, what Advent is all about. The good news of Advent and the gospel in general is not that we had to work hard to get to God, that we had to earn it or do anything in order to get to Him. The good news is that Christ became the most vulnerable, taking the form of a baby to get to us. He grew, He walked among us. He told us about His kingdom and about His Father and about His mission. And then He offered us forgiveness and reconciliation and adoption into His family. And that, friends, is the good news. So whether you find yourself prancing, limping, or crawling into this Christmas season, I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to spend some time today in Luke 1, verses 39 to 55. And we're going to spend some time with two really tremendously important and amazing ladies, Mary and Elizabeth, and their interactions with one another. So as we read through this very first time, I want you to notice their interaction with each other and what it stirs up in you. Anything that stands out to you as we read this first time through. I'm going to be reading in the NIV if you want to follow along, starting at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Okay, friends, what did you notice on this first go-round? Anything stand out to you? In case you're new to the gospel story and you don't know the background, or it's been a while since you've heard it, these two women, Elizabeth and Mary, are relatives. Elizabeth's husband was told by an angel months before that Elizabeth would give birth to a baby boy and his name would be John, and he would prepare the way for the Messiah. Kind of a big deal. Zechariah and Elizabeth were very old, probably past the age that they should have been having children, and Elizabeth was barren. She had never had a baby. All of her community, she'd watched all of them have babies. She'd probably grieved for years that she wouldn't have one. And then lo and behold, an angel shows up and tells her husband, at the very last minute, probably when they'd already come to peace with the fact that they would never have a child, that not only were they going to have a child, but he was going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then I think pretty much everybody knows Mary's story, but in case you don't, that same angel that showed up for Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, Gabriel, he showed up for Mary as well and announced the good news that she also would be carrying a baby and that this baby would be the Messiah. Not much after she had conceived, Mary went to Elizabeth's house. We don't know all the context of what that was about, but we can imagine that these women knew each other, that they had great affection for one another, that they were both probably mystified as to what was happening to them, but also amazed at the same time of what was happening to them. And this is the interaction we have recorded, their first interaction when Mary enters the room. So it's a pretty monumental interaction. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of the Bechdel test, but it's basically a test that you can put fiction through or a movie through that looks at female characters. And so this is what it does. It says, is there more than one female character in this story? And if so, are they named? And so we can look at this and we can say, wow, there are two female characters in Luke 1, and they both have names and they both have contexts even. And the next question of the Bechdel test is, do those two female characters talk to each other in the story, or are they only talking to men? And here we see two female characters who are named, who speak to each other. So that's important. And then the final question is, do these two female characters that talk to each other about something other than a man or a love interest? Because sadly, guys, if you look at a lot of fiction, especially old-timey fiction, or a lot of movies, there aren't a lot of named female characters, and when they do talk to each other, it generally is about a love interest or a man. And you know, a lot of scripture does have a lot of men in it, a lot of named men. There are more named men than there are named women in scripture, for sure. But Luke is really good about including women, and these two women are very important to our story, and they're important to the gospel. And I love that he gives us a sneak peek into their interactions with one another and into what the Holy Spirit was producing inside of them as they're coming to the realizations of how important these babies are inside of their bellies. So with that as context, let's go back and read through this another time and see what stands out to you this time. Starting again at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, and this is called Mary's song or the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." All right, friends, what did you notice that time around? Anything different stand out to you? It's one thing to read scripture, and it's another thing to really put yourself in the story, understanding the context. These were real people with real feelings and real backstories and futures that they did not yet know all of what was going to happen. And we get this beautiful little snapshot. of their interaction with one another as they're just at the beginning of discovering what lies ahead and each other's roles and their baby's roles and God's plan. And now, friends, I would really like us to shift our focus from these ladies to the content of what they're saying and what the Holy Spirit is up to. What is he doing? What is he saying? It says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Both of them have babies that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it seems, as we're watching, that the Holy Spirit is prophesying through them to each other about what is going to happen. And Luke is writing it all down for us so that we know what was said. Elizabeth prophesies over Mary, and Mary prophesies about what is to come and what God's kingdom is up to. And it's really amazing. And I would really love for us to focus on what the Holy Spirit is saying and the importance of what he's telling us through these two women and about what is to come and about his kingdom. So we're going to read it one more time. And this time, let's listen for what the Holy Spirit is saying. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." And here she prophesies, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." Notice what she's proclaiming about the kingdom and how different this is than maybe what they would have thought that his kingdom was going to bring. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And I just wish we could have been flies on the wall for that 3 months. Think about how much Elizabeth probably mentored her, how much she encouraged her, how vulnerable both of them were, but especially Mary, not being married and pregnant as a teenager. How scary and unknown it must have felt, and yet how comforting it must have felt to have a relative who was going through a similar thing, had been prophesied to by an angel as well, and knowing that you were in God's plan and that you weren't alone. Friends, I'm curious, what stands out to you? What does this passage bring up in your heart? What questions does it bring up? What thoughts have you had that maybe you haven't thought before? I encourage you, friends, as you are spending time this Christmas season, to remember that God's kingdom doesn't always come like we expect it to. Comes often in small ways and not loudly announced. What from this passage and from our time together would you want to carry with you throughout this day and into the rest of this Christmas season? I hope that you'll go back and read all of Luke 1. It's a good one. I think it gets skipped over a lot to get to Luke 2, but Luke 1 is one of my favorites. It's got some really good stories, some really good backstories for some really important people. Well, this is the last episode for 2025. But Lord willing, I am planning some good things starting in January as we continue season 8, and I look forward to spending time with you then. For now, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. and I want to close our time together with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus. Thank you.